Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up seven cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the seven sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. Seven heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads of grain sprouted thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream that same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile when out of the river there came up seven cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the seven fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. So they looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw seven heads of grain, full and good. Seven other heads sprouted withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The seven lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the seven worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine." "It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming through the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God. And God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphenath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went through the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the world. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Amen. Now for a drink of water. So I think when I preach that in jail, David, I'm going to have you read it, okay, to save my voice. I did it today just to speed things along, but we'll definitely do that then. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray you would bless this word read, now preached. We pray that it would touch the deepest needs of God's people and remind us that our God is able to save. Thank you, O Lord, for your saving work in Jesus Christ. It is through him we pray to you for your Holy Spirit's power and persuasion this morning. We humbly ask this in Jesus' name, and let us all agree by saying amen. Some of you believe the lie. You believe the lie. You believe the lie that you are good for nothing, that you are of no account, that you are a worthless bum. You've read the statistics, and they're not pretty. within 3 years of release, 2/3 of prisoners are back in prison. Within 5 years of release, 3/4 of prisoners are back in prison. And of those rearrested, over half are arrested in the first year. That's scary. I bet you feel powerless. Like you're a pawn, you have no choice in the matter, that you're part of a broken system. Well, let me tell you, it should scare you. You should face those brutal facts for what they are, that 3/4 of all men who go on from here to state prison will be back there in 5 years. But here's the good news. 1 out of 4 won't. Be that man. Be that man. So that is my challenge to you this morning. If you end up in state prison, you don't have to be the other three. Let's say that together. I don't have to be the other three. One more time. I don't have to be the other three. Let's do it again like you mean it. I don't have to be the other three. You don't have to be the other three. Be the one. Like Joseph. As a teenager, Joseph had a dream. 2 dreams, actually. He had 2 dreams that one day he would make it big and be a ruler. He would rule over his brothers. He would rule over his mother. He would rule over his father. But you know what? Dreams can get you into trouble. His brothers wanted to kill his dream by killing him. But instead of killing him, they sold him into slavery. As a slave in a faraway land, his dream of rising to the top almost seemed dead, and it only got worse. His master's wife falsely accused him of rape, and his dream died one more death. He was thrown into prison, and it wasn't Kent County Jail. It was Jackson. He was falsely accused, falsely convicted, and thrown into the slammer for nearly 13 years, hard time. And that's a tragedy. When a man is unjustly thrown behind bars 13 years, it's a tragedy. Or was it? Is God bigger than our tragedies? Is God greater than all your mistakes? Can God deliver his people from sin, from slavery, and from all of our shackles? Oh, yes, he can. You just read the whole book of Genesis, the whole book of Exodus, and the whole Bible, and you'll find out. Favorite verse of mine, Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that is in us in Christ. So here is your first word of hope this morning, and it's this. God can use the prisoner to do his will. It's amazing. God can use the prisoner to do his will. But that requires 4 things from you. Firstly, it requires a lot of waiting. Prisoners do a lot of waiting. When you are first processed, your first day at the jail, you have to sit around and wait. When you are in jail, the guards regularly tell you, hurry up and wait. When you wish someone, anyone, a loved one, a friend, would just come visit you in jail, you have to wait. The Bible tells us Joseph had to wait. Verse 1 says, when 2 more years passed, Pharaoh had a dream. Now get this, Joseph had already been waiting in jail for 11 years. And he finally gets a chance to get out. His parole board consisted of a butler and a baker. Both forgot him on his day. His parole board, well, sort of broke up. One of them was hung on a tree and died. The other forgot him So Joseph had to wait 2 more years. But listen, dear men, waiting is God's method of building faith. Waiting is not worthless. Waiting is not a waste of time. Waiting is God's divine method for building faith. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord." Faith must be seasoned by waiting. Secondly, it requires meeting the right people. Now, in jail, I've met many over these 15 years. In jail, you meet a lot of people. Some aren't very good. Stay away from them. Some are very, very annoying. Good riddance. And some are very important people. You need to meet them. A chaplain. A counselor. A psychologist. A volunteer from Forgotten Man Ministries. Maybe you should sign up for the God Pod. God will put someone into your path who can give you a hand up if you will only but look with your eyes. 1 Corinthians 10:13 makes this promise. "There is no temptation that has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not tempt you that above that which you are able, but with that temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." But you've got to meet them. And Joseph met them when the royal butler and the royal baker were thrown into jail. You see, they were very important men. They worked for the king. Now, yes, they did forget them, but 2 years later, one of them remembered. God works through people in his time. You keep looking and waiting for the right one to help you. Thirdly, it requires pleading, a lot of pleading. Sometimes actually begging for help. Joseph begged the royal butler to help him. In Genesis 40, verse 14, he says, "But remember me when it is well with you. Please do me the kindness to make mention of me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this place." You see, there is a very good reason why our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you." It pleases our Heavenly Father when you ask. And it humbles us when we ask. And it makes other people know about our need when we ask. And so when we pray to God and when we ask our neighbor for help, watch out. You're on a recipe for deliverance. People cannot help you if they do not know. And God often won't help you unless you make it known. Plead for help. And watch God work. And fourthly, as is often the case, it requires more waiting. That's right. Joseph had to wait 11 years and then 2 more years. And you see, sometimes, like Joseph, you have to wait for a word from God. In verses 1 through 7, God gives his word. He speaks to Pharaoh by sending him a dream, and that dream was the opportunity for Joseph, because that dream contained God's plan for his escape. But until Pharaoh had this dream, Joseph did not know his next step. And that is how God's word works today. Your dreams may not tell you what to do next, but the Bible sure will. Some of you have your Bibles with you right now. I'm glad you carry them to Sunday service. Read them. The answer to your life problem is found in that book. You've just not found it there yet. Open it. Read it. Find it. He had to wait for a word from God. But he also, sometimes you have to wait for urgency in other people. You see, if nobody cares you are in prison right now, well, then you're going to have to wait here until they finally do. Joseph's brothers didn't care. Joseph's master didn't care. The royal butler did not care. But suddenly, here in verses 9 and following, people start caring. Why? Well, in verses 9 through 13, we see the butler says to Pharaoh, today I'm reminded of my shortcoming. A young Hebrew interpreted my dreams and things turned out exactly like he said. So sometimes when you're waiting and waiting, you got to wait for God to create urgency in other people. You know, if people don't have urgency, you're not going to get any help. But if people have urgency, they're going to give you help. So suddenly one day, somebody comes to you and says, hey, it's your court date. Come on, go, get out of here. The judge needs you. Or somebody says, hey, you're costing the taxpayer too much money. Get out of here. It's your day. Sometimes you have to wait for other people to get urgent. And sometimes you have to wait for when you are needed. You see, some of you want to get out of jail today. You would dearly love if I, as a pastor, brought in keys and said, I've got your keys, boys. We're going out of jail today. Let's go. But you see, there's one problem. You ain't needed yet. You ain't needed. Your girlfriend's really mad at you. She don't want to see you right now. Maybe your kids aren't talking to you. They don't want to see you right now. You see, if you were let out today, I bet you'd just mess it up. Here's the secret. Listen. You want to be released when you're needed. Joseph was released when he was needed by the Pharaoh. The wise men, they could not help Pharaoh. Pharaoh was troubled by two bad dreams. The royal court is tied up into knots. And so Joseph is finally needed because he can help Pharaoh. And so men, on the day that God grants you release, not one day sooner, you will be needed to do God's will. So hold on to your horses and wait. Proverbs 21 verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. God can use the prisoner to do his will, but only when you're needed. Brings us to our second point. The first point was God can use the prisoner to do his will. Now here's the good news for you men. Here it is. God can also use the ex-prisoner to do his will. All right, so we've reached verse 14. And by verse 14, Joseph is an ex-con. He's emancipated. He's free. It happened so fast. On that day, it's like a dream. It's very fast. Pharaoh sends for Joseph. Joseph is busy minding his own business. They shave his head and beard, change his clothes, and they rush him in to see Pharaoh. And there is Joseph from the pit to the prison to the palace, head spinning. Crazy. He goes from rags to riches, from humiliation to exaltation. So what is he supposed to do now? I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You better give glory to God. Give glory to God. God can use the ex-prisoner to do his will only when that prisoner will give glory to God. None of this, jail was a nothing. I did my time. I'm a fighter. Look at me. Oh, no. How about if you just shut your mouth and give glory to God? We've had enough of you. We've had enough of what you can do. You've cost your mother heartache and grief. You've cost your family near poverty living, and you've cost the taxpayer tens of thousands of dollars. That's what you do. So when you get out, whenever you get out, if you want to be used by God, you give glory to God. And that is what Joseph does. He says it in verse 16. He says, I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. So God will use you, but only when you give him glory. And secondly, God will use the ex-prisoner who is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God? Pharaoh says, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Joseph was filled with God's Spirit. And one reason we know, and you can always tell it this way, listen to me now. One reason we know he was filled with God's Spirit is because of his courage. Joseph had profound courage. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. He had courage. And with courage, he tells Pharaoh, I will give you a favorable answer. I will give you a shalom answer, an answer that will eventually bring about peace. That takes courage. He tells Pharaoh, even before he hears the dream, it's going to be good what I say to you. Wow. So then Pharaoh tells him, and it's a really evil dream. It's a creepy dream. It's an awful dream. And he's so moved by it, he says, it's just filled with ugly cattle. Ugly cattle. Oh, they're so ugly. I've never seen such ugly cattle in all of Egypt. Ugly, ugly cattle. It really worked him up. So here Joseph has invited the most powerful man in the planet to tell him his deepest and darkest and most troubling dreams. And before he knows what it's going to be, he says, I'm going to help you. That takes courage. When a man, a woman, or child is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, one trait they inherit is courage. God will use the ex-prisoner when he's filled with the Spirit. And thirdly, God will use the ex-prisoner, but only if he is wise. In verse 39, Pharaoh says, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. Joseph was wise. You know how we know he was wise? Firstly, he told the truth. Telling the truth is always the wisest thing to do. It is always the most liberating thing to do. It is always the most emancipating thing you can do. Don't tell your kids, I'll be out soon, when you have no idea. Don't break their heart. Don't conveniently tell your attorney some, but not all of the facts about your case. Wise men tell the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So Joseph tells Pharaoh the truth, that the two dreams are actually one dream. And suddenly Pharaoh gets it. He's like, that's it. These bumbling wise men kept telling me that my two dreams, you know, my dreams, they're trying to interpret my dreams and looking at the two dreams when you, Joseph, have told me it's really one. Yes, it makes sense. Tell me more. But then he does something with courage. He tells the most powerful man in the planet in his day, bad news. Bad news. Courage to tell the boss bad news. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He only spends one sentence talking about the years of plenty. And then he spends four or five sentences talking about the years of famine. He doesn't sugarcoat it. Joseph sounds the alarm and he makes his case. He faces the bad news with Pharaoh. Now, interestingly, 7 years of famine was almost unheard of in the Nile Valley, because the Nile Valley had the fertile Nile River, which normally floods the fields with fertility every year, one of the most fertile areas in the world. This seems impossible. But since Joseph is wise, and since God has told him to tell the near impossible bad news, Joseph has complete trust in God. That's what the wise man does. You don't trust your feelings. You don't trust the polls. You don't trust the bad looks and the peer pressure of fallen people around you. You trust God. Always. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." God can use the ex-prisoner to do his will. All right, so that's our second point. It's all been pretty important news. God can use the prisoner, you right now, here in this place, to do his will. When you get out, God can use the ex-prisoner to do his will. But I have one final and remarkable point, and here it is. Hold on to your seats. God can even reintroduce the prisoner to human society to productively do his will. Now, today we call this reentry. Oh, and reentry is fraught with difficulty. We have a name for it. We call it recidivism. How many people are coming back? Well, reentry means this: successful transition to the community after release. And if you want to enjoy reentry and experience successful reentry, you've got to put legs on the dream. And that's what Joseph does. Joseph plans out the dream. You see, Joseph isn't just a Bible study student. Joseph is not just a man gifted with the gift of dreams. Joseph isn't just the guy who interprets dreams. Joseph offers a plan of action, because God's word must be acted upon. James 1:22 gives this warning: "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Listen to Joseph's plan. It's brilliant. He says, "Select a wise man, set him over the land, appoint overseers, take 20% of the harvest, do it for 7 years, store the grain, keep the grain near each city where the grain came from, distribute it equally among the places, the districts that provided the grain, and to prevent bribery and graft, get a good man to do it." Wow. Now that plan has feet. And Joseph follows what we today call the KISS principle. It's a very simple plan. I urge all of you men to follow it. It's real simple. Keep it simple and savvy. It's a good plan. And we know it was a good plan. Why do we know it was a good plan? Because the people that mattered when they heard the plan smiled. So if you go home and tell your mother about your plan and she frowns, hey, think again. If you tell your parole officer, hey, I'm planning to do this and this and this, and he frowns, think again. If you tell your chaplain or your pastor, someone you trust, someone whose life you would like your life to be like, don't ask your Uncle Louie, who's been in and out of jail 3 or 4 times, hey, how do I get back into human society? Why would Uncle Louie know? Louie keeps going back. Don't ask Uncle Louie. Ask somebody whose life you say, you know your life? I want your life. How do you do that? Tell him your plan. See if he smiles. Pharaoh smiled. Verse 37 says, "The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all of his servants." Not only does Joseph plan out the dream, but secondly, he follows an empowered dream. You see, dreams are nothing. Dreams are zilch. Dreams are wisp of air floating in the atmosphere if they are not empowered, if they do not have power. Dreams need a fighting chance. And if dreams are to take flight, they need resources. They need support from local authorities. And that is exactly what Joseph receives. Never forget this saying. God's plan, done in God's way, will never lack God's resources. Just look how God empowers the dream. God sees to it that Pharaoh offers Joseph the job on the spot. He sets him over all the land as second in command. He is given a signet ring so he can sign papers with the ring. He is given a linen robe with a gold chain to show all the people he has the right and authority to do all of this. He is gifted with a private chariot to get him around. Men run in front of him yelling, "Make way! Make way!" Wow, all the resources are assembled. The dream is empowered. And yet, let's pause to remind us, Joseph doesn't let this get to his head. Sometimes all of the perks of freedom, the perks of opportunity, the perks of people helping you, it can get to our heads. And that could have happened to Joseph. You see, Pharaoh tries to make Joseph a thorough Egyptian. He gives Joseph a new Egyptian name. He gives Joseph a new sweet Egyptian wife. He gives Joseph even an Egyptian father-in-law with some pedigree. He's a priest serving the sun god Ra in the city of Heliopolis. And so Pharaoh grants Joseph Egyptian status, Egyptian office, and Egyptian privilege. Pharaoh wants Joseph to be Egypt's man. But you see, Joseph is not Egypt's man. Joseph is God's man, doing God's work, saving the people God wants to save. And we see this clearly during Joseph's years of prosperity, because when Joseph's new Egyptian wife bears him two Egyptian sons, he gives them Hebrew names. Manasseh, Ephraim. In Hebrew, Manasseh signified, "God has made me forget all my troubles." And Ephraim signifies, "God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction." He's still God's man. So he plans out the dream. The dream is empowered. And finally, he sticks with the dream. He plans the work and now works the plan. He carried it out. For 14 years, he does not quit. He stores up 20% of the grain for the first 7 years, but it's so abundant, he just has to stop keeping records. And as he sticks with the plan, one source of internal strength to help him stick with the plan is that he takes comfort in his family. Now, he does not take comfort in his extended family. They had failed him. He does not take comfort in his brothers. He does not take comfort in his father or now stepmother. He forgets them, actually, for a season, is what the Bible tells us. The Bible says God made him forget all his family's household. But during this time, he sure takes comfort in those boys. He celebrates those baby boys. He says, "God has made me fruitful. God has helped me forget all my trouble. And I got two baby boys to remind me." So men, never forget your family while you are pursuing the dream. Family never competes with God's dream. Family enhances it. Even if the family of your childhood hurt you a lot. So we close, men. 3 points. God uses prisoners to do his will. He uses ex-prisoners to do his will. He readmits prisoners to human society to do his will. And God used the prisoner Joseph. Our chapter ends with one verse that says, all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph. God used Joseph to save the world from famine, just like God did the same thing through his son Jesus. John 3:16 says, for God so loved that same world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Joseph only provided bread for the world. Jesus provides so much more. John 6:35 and following says, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. That's the kind of bread Jesus gives. He says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. God is able to raise the prisoner from the pit to the palace. Joseph then, Jesus now, in order to save the world. So men, you trust Jesus to rescue you. You trust in God the Father to lift you up out of your shackles. And you trust the Holy Spirit to fill you up. And let all God's people say.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jennison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.